I pray that you speak to us through the first chapter of Book of Ruth and help us to understand your will and help us to walk in it so that we be blessed by you all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To read the Bible, you need to have the Word of God within your heart. Otherwise, you don't know the thing that Naomi say is right or wrong. So I put this sermon title is the testing of your faith. So I would like to test how much you understand God's word. The first question is Naomi facing all this kind of difficulty? Did she feel happy or she feel bitter? Can anyone answer me? She feel bitter or she feel happy? Sally? She feel very bitter. Through her word, she feel very, very bitter. Now the question is, isn't it God is the God of love? And the Bible clearly stated that in Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is loving, trust all he has made. He made Ruth, he made Naomi, he made Oprah. Okay? Now the question is, if the Lord is loving, trust all he has made. In the same way, Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all. What is the reason why the Lord make this family feel so bitter? Okay? It is right for Naomi to feel bitter, or it is not right for her to feel bitter? Wesley? And I'm glad you control the computer. So you won't fall asleep, right? That's good. Is it right for her to feel bitter, or is it not right for her to feel bitter? Is it good or it's not good? Huh? Joyce? Is it good or no good? What's your middle name? Naomi. Okay? It is good for Naomi to feel bitter, or it's no good for her to feel bitter? It's good? It's no good. Okay? Why is no good? What did the Bible say? Right beside bitter. She mentioned it so many times, bitter. Okay? Right beside bitter. You write down what Paul say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. I didn't see there's joy in her heart. But the Lord say, rejoice always. In chapter 1, I didn't see that you pray continuously. Thirdly, I didn't see that he give thanks to the Lord. So he failed the test. Brother and sister, don't you know that? All of us are like Naomi. When we face difficulty situation, we feel bitter, and we tell other people, the Lord afflicted me. What the Bible say, she didn't do it. You write that down, okay? Right beside bitterness. She's supposed to feel joyful always. pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances, including the pass away of her husband, and later on, the pass away of her two sons. She didn't give thanks in chapter 1. I didn't see that. She didn't pray. She felt very, very bitter. When people call her, isn't it Naomi coming back? She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Mara's bitter. I feel very, very bitter. Why do you feel bitter? When I left this place, I'm full. But when I come back, I'm empty. Now go back. Go back at the very beginning. You think that it is a wise decision when you face famine, you leave the place of Bethlehem to go to the place of Moab and the foreign land. When you face famine, right beside chapter 1, the word famine, in the days when the judges rule, there was a famine, right beside the famine in the land. It's no strange thing that we all face famine. You write down Genesis chapter 12, Abraham faced famine. Genesis chapter 26, Isaac faced famine. And Genesis chapter 46, Jacob faced famine too. But you know what? At the time, that in Judges' time, that means they all have the Bible of Moses' teaching. They all know that. All our forefathers faced famine too. Doesn't mean that when you face famine, you leave Bethlehem and go to a foreign land. Now I'm going to ask Emily. I'm going to ask, is Emily here? Okay, I'm going to ask Emily. When this family of four left Bethlehem and go to Moab, that means they have to cross the Jordan River to go to the east. Supposed to stay in the west of Jordan, in the promised land. Because where is Bethlehem? It's very close to Jerusalem. You can go and worship, right? You leave that place. You go and choose a job. They're far away from the church. And there's virtually no church there. How can you get blessing? That's why Naomi say that. When we left, we have a lot of stuff. I have a husband, I have two sons. I have a lot of money. But now when I come back empty. Make a decision, man. Make sure you don't leave the place that you can't worship God. You try to destroy your wealth, your life, you go ahead and do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you? It is good for the Lord to discipline this family? Or it's no good? Is it good? I think it's good. Through the discipline, take away the life of her husband and the life of two of his son, and at least two people will say. Naomi will say, Ruth will say. So we always rejoice always. Right beside bitterness, you write down Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Right beside bitterness, I want you to write Roman. Take a look at what Paul say. Roman chapter 5. I read that to you in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Circle the word rejoice. Not feeling bitter. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How can Naomi and Ruth get the hope of the glory of God when they turn around and go back to Bethlehem? That's what I call repentance. Repent and turn to God, and you will get blessing. Verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Circle the word rejoice in our suffering. She feel very, very bitter. Naomi feel very, very bitter. Paul said that not only we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, we also rejoice in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Chapter 5 of Romans is like that. Turn to Romans chapter 10. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. As I said before, in chapter 1, she didn't pray. She didn't have joy in her heart. She didn't give thanks. Now I go back. The Bible did not mention what is the reason why the Lord allowed her husband to pass away. Her husband passed away first, and then two of her sons passed away. I want to learn a lesson from chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. Do you think if Naomi is spiritually wise, when she see that her husband passed away, she turn around and move back to Bethlehem? You think two of her sons will pass away? Hannah? Why? Why you say that? When we repent, the Lord gonna forgive all our sins when we confess it. But if we keep going, keep doing what we are doing, isn't it what the prophets say? A prudent man see danger and take refuge and turn around. But she keep going. And one son pass away, still not going. And two sons pass away, then she start thinking about that. She's not really wise. You know what? If you don't read the Bible carefully like that, I don't think you will see that. God is good. You write that down. You write down Isaiah chapter 5. When the Lord disciplines you, he's going to raise out his hand. He's not going to pull it down. He wants you to turn around. You don't turn around, the calamity will come one upon another. And I say that again. Isaiah chapter 5 all the way to chapter 10. Mention it 5 times. The Lord lift up his hand until you repent. He's not going to turn around. You turn around. Okay? Because he's going to save. He wants to save Naomi. He wants to save Ruth. make sure when we see disaster, we turn around. The Bible clearly stated in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 21, no harm before the righteous. If you turn around and believe in God, then you are a righteous man. No more harm. No more calamity. It will stop it. Write that down. Jeremiah chapter 18, 7 to 8. If the Lord say, I will destroy, I will pull up, I will uproot, I will send calamity upon you, but when he see that you turn around, he say, I'm going to relent. I'm not going to do it. If you read the Bible, you don't understand. You know who's going to suffer? You yourself going to suffer. You write that down. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. He who failed to find me, harm himself. He who hates me, he loved death. Because you don't love the word of God, you don't read it, you don't understand it, you know who's going to suffer? You're going to suffer. You're going to lose your husband. You're going to lose two of your sons. And you lose your wealth too. What's the lesson we learn? Don't go your way, man. Just like the book of Proverbs. A prudent man seek refuge when he sees danger. You don't keep going and suffer for it. This family, keep going and suffer for it. I want you to write that down. I want you to write that down right beside the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. You write that down. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Naomi is the simple one. Keep going and suffer for it. I want to tell you one thing too. We all do the same thing. I read that to you. I want you to listen very carefully. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Doesn't mean that when you are in famine, then you're going to suffer. Abraham did not suffer in famine. He didn't have to move away. Right? Even though he moved away, he's going to come back very soon. He moved to Egypt without asking God. He's just about to lose his wife. The king of Egypt wanted to take his wife. Fortunately, the Lord protect him. Because Abraham is a righteous man. Same as in 26, Genesis, Isaac. He faced famine, he wanted to follow his father, like son. His father go to Egypt, he wanted to go to Egypt. But the Lord appeared to him and said to him, don't go to Egypt. Stay in the place I want you to stay. That's the place of Philistine. He stayed. That year, he get hundredfold. Do you understand? He didn't lose his wife. He didn't lose his wealth. He gained 100 times. Write that down. Right beside famine. You write down Genesis chapter 26. Same as Genesis 46. Jacob, in the time of famine, his entire family was saved. He moved to Egypt because that's what the Lord said to you. Because he sent Joseph ahead of time to prepare for that. Brother and sister, learn that spiritual lesson. When there's a famine in Edmonton, you seek God and ask God, what shall I do? You don't just make a decision on your own and then test God. Everybody say? God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what? What's the name of that spiritual man supposed to be? Naomi, her husband called Elimelech. Eli, The first three words, E-L-I, mean God. Melech, mean king. What he's trying to say is, God is my king. That means I listen to king, I listen to God. Whatever God wants me to do, I do. But he didn't. He has that name, it's a good name, but he do the opposite. He is his own God. He is his own king. He makes his own decision. You know what? When he make that decision, he didn't expect to stay there for 10 years until three of the male pass away. He wanted to stay there only for a while, end up staying there and die there. Don't plan your way. Seek God's will in all your life. I read that to you again. In the day when the judges rule, there was a famine in the land. Through the book of writing of King David, and King David say, even though in famine, the Lord can provide food for the righteous. You don't have to move to Moabite. You don't have to move to a foreign land. And a man from Bethlehem, in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while, circle the word. His intention is to live there for a while. You know what it end up? End up 10 years. In verse 4, circle the word, 10 years. She planned to live there for a while, but end up 10 years. 10 years, not for a while. 10 years is a long time. So how long have I been in New York? Do you know? How long? I've been there 12 years. 12 years is the peak of my time. 39 years is the peak of a man's time. I went to New York. When I come back, I'm 40-some-odd years old. Times 12 is what? 50 some odd years old. Oh man. Become an old man. You know what I mean? 10 years, not for a while. 10 years, a long time. The Lord being very, very patient with this family. They intend to live there for a while and then move back. They don't move back. That's why the Lord intervened and disciplined them. Keep going. They went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Verse 2. The man's name was Elimelech, meaning God is my king. I listen to God, but in reality, he himself is the king. His wife's name is Naomi, means sweet. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon. Mahlon means weakly, very weak, has a lot of sickness all the time. Kilion means thin and weak. Okay? So that's why these two sons pass away so soon. They were Ephrathai from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Didn't talk about praying together, four of them. Should we go there? No, we just make the decision and go. No prayer. No interference. In verse 3. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. I don't know when, but within that 10 years. Very likely is the early part of the 10 years. And she was left with her two sons. Now, the Bible clearly stated that she was left with her two sons. Write that down. Write down like Luke chapter 15. You know what? When the prodigal son squandered all his wealth that he got from his father,
he should have come back, right? But he didn't come back because he think I can look for a job in the foreign land. You know what I mean? Until he found a job that is so bad that he cannot even feed himself. And he think that he come to sense. He said, wow, my father, Heisman, has a lot of wealth working for my father. Should I die in a foreign land like this? So he came to senses. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. He went back. Brother and sister, you don't need to suffer so much pain before you turn around. You suffer a little bit pain, you just turn around. You write down Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. When the time is good, you're happy. When the time is bad, you should consider. Consider what? Consider going back. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't just say, my husband passed away. I left with two sons. I still have two sons. Lo and behold, one after another, they pass away. That is no good. Don't force God to do that. I want you to turn. Go back to Isaiah. Remember I told you, starting Isaiah chapter 5? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12. They have no regard for the deeds of the Lord. When the Lord take away the life of her husband, she didn't even realize this is the work of the Lord. She has no respect for the work of her of the Lord's hand. You write that down right beside here. Chapter 5, verse 12. You write down Psalm 28, verse 5. Psalm 28, verse 5. Since they show no regard for the work of the Lord, he didn't even know that it is the Lord take away the life of your husband to discipline you so that you turn around. She has no idea of that. They show no regard for the work of the Lord and what his hand has done. And the Lord will tear them down and never build them up again. This is King David's word. Isaiah believed in King David's word. So that's why Isaiah write that down in chapter 5, in the latter part of verse 12, 5:12, say the same thing. That means what King David say when he is filled with the Holy Spirit, Isaiah, the prophet, believe what King David say is true. And now apply in the life of Naomi family. Right beside 5:12, Isaiah, you write down 5:25. Therefore, the Lord's anger burned against his people. His hand was raised and he struck them down. The mountain shook, and the dead body is like refuse in the street. Yet, for all this, the Lord's anger is not turned away. His hand still upraised. Right beside upraised, you write down chapter 9, Isaiah, verse 12, the second time. Yet, for all this, the Lord's anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Why his hand is still upraised? He's waiting for you to repent and turn around. 17. Chapter 9, 17. Therefore, the Lord will take no pleasure in the young man, nor will he take pity the fatherless and the widow. For everyone is ungodly and wicked. Every mouth speaks vileness. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Verse 21. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh. Together they will turn against Judah. They fight against each other.
brother to brother, brother to brother. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, his hand is still upraised. Chapter 10, verse 4. Yet for all this, I read the verse 4, the earlier part, nothing will remain but cringe among the captives, or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, his hand is still upraised. How many times? How many times? 5 times. Listen to me. Assuming Elimelech is the first time. His elder son died the second time. And then the second son died the third time. According to Isaiah teaching, there are 2 more times. Can you afford to lose? I cannot afford. Turn around. We turn around. Don't wait. You don't read the scripture, you don't know how to fear God. You read the scripture, you have high regard of the work of the Lord. Do not show no regard for his work. You know that that is his work behind the scene. You understand? Is it good for me to talk about Book of Ruth? Is it good? I want to keep going. Go back. Ruth chapter 1. They moved from Bethlehem in Judah to Moab. Stay far away from the place of worship. They don't worship God anymore. Okay? They live their own life. And then in verse 3. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. She still not turn around and become wicked even more because they married Moabite women. One named Orpah and the other named Ruth. What did the Bible say about that, regarding the foreign woman? Okay, take a look of what Moses say about that. Chapter 17 to 17. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. Especially the wife of a foreign woman. They know that. Because in Numbers, I want you to turn to Numbers. In Numbers chapter 25, you know why the Lord disciplined the people of Israel? Because they commit adultery with the Moabite woman. Chapter 25, verse 1. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the man began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invite them to the sacrifice to their God. They not only commit adultery, they worship Moabite God. Circle the word God. Is there. Small letter G is a plural. Moabite believe in multitude of God. And they know it is wrong. They know they shouldn't do it. But they ignore the biblical teaching because they don't have God's word. They stay far away from Bethlehem. They have no safeguard. Nobody give them warning. They keep doing what they're doing. And then I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, other than 25. I want you to write that down in the book of Ruth, okay? Right beside Moab, okay? In chapter 1, verse 1. They want to live there for a while in the country of Moab. Right beside Moab, you write down Deuteronomy chapter 20, you write down Numbers chapter 25, Deuteronomy chapter 23. I want you to listen to me carefully. Chapter 23, verse 3. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. Why would you marry a woman that God forbid the 10th generation to enter into the temple of God? They not only depart from the temple of God, they don't go to the temple of God to worship God. They do things, wicked things, against what Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 is doing. You know what? They don't read the Bible, and they don't know that they sin against God. That's why King David said, I hide your word within my heart so that I won't sin against you. You don't marry a foreign man. You ask God to discipline you. People ignore that because they don't read the Bible. Even though they read, they don't hide that within their heart. It is very severe. And God say, no Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to a 10th generation. Why? For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. They hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pithor in Aram, Naharaim, to pronounce a curse on you. Hide the false prophet to curse the people of Israel. However, the Lord your God would not listen to this false prophet, but turn the curse into blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. But Naomi does not love God. Do their own thing. Right? As a matter of fact, I want to finish chapter 1. And I don't think I can finish chapter 1. Keep going. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Circle the word 10 years. After they lived there about 10 years, the Lord waited for them to repent. For how long? For 10 years. You write that down. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is slow to anger, rich in mercy, abundant in love. He waited for 10 years. 10 years, Moses, did you see that? 10 years, not 10 days. He gave us a lot of chance to repent, right? 10 years. And then because you and I know that, they only want to live there for a while, but lo and behold, it's 10 years already. So the Lord got to do something because God wants to save Naomi. So that's why inflict pain and suffering into her life. By inflicting pain and suffering. Of course, it caused bitterness, but it also caused repentance. That's why Psalm 119:67, the Bible says, it is good for me to be afflicted because I sinned against God. Through that suffering, I learned to obey His word. Come back and turn around.
turn to Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, 10 years ago, this family of four went astray, but now I obey your word. Right beside, I obey your word. You write that down. When did Naomi obey the word of the Lord? In verse 5. Bo, Mahlon, and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left. At first, the Bible says she was left with her two sons. Now the Bible says she was left without her two sons and her husband. That means the author, Ruth, telling us, you want to have less pain? The earlier you turn around, you have less pain. The sooner you turn around, you get blessing. No more calamity. In verse 6. You write beside verse 6. You write down the Bible say, when she heard in Moab that the Lord has come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her two daughters prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-law, she left the place where she has been living for at least 10 years and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. That means suffer three losses before she come to senses. She heard in Moab that the Lord has come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. No more famine. Right beside verse 6, you write down Luke chapter 15, 17. Just like the prodigal son, when he suffers so much pain, he come to senses. When you come to senses, you heard some good news about God and you will turn around. 15:17, when the prodigal son came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's high men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your high men. So he got up and went to his father. He repented and turn to God. When he repent and turn to God, the Lord show mercy to him, to Naomi, to her. I want you to do some homework. I want to stay here. Stop here. I want you to read chapter 1, verse 8, all the way to the end. I want you to listen to the conversation that Naomi has with his two daughter-in-law. And I'm going to ask you next week whether the advice that she make to her two daughter-in-law is right or it's wrong. But when you answer me, either way, you give me a proof to back up your explanation. Don't just say, yeah, it's right. Oh, no, don't just say, no, it's wrong. Back it up with the biblical teaching. Because I don't want. You just read that and you read it numerous times, and you don't learn the lesson. You don't learn the lesson, that means you haven't read it. You deceived yourself, just like the book of James said.
Don't deceive yourself. Listen to the word of God. If it needed to be changed, we change it. Why we need to be changed? So we have the reason for that. Our Heavenly Father, every time when your servant opened his mouth and explained your word, help him to explain clearly so that we learn the lesson. We don't want to see calamity. We want to see blessing one after another. From the fullness of your grace, we have all received one blessing after another, just like this family of four. When they go there, just like Ruth chapter 1, when they go there, they went away full from the place of Judah. But now the Lord has brought us back empty. Fortunately, Naomi realized it is the Lord who has brought her back. It is the Lord who has brought her back. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. Help us to understand your word and fear the Lord, and so that we get blessing from you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.